Peace and welcome to For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me, folks. Yeah, you know what it is. It's the eve of voting day of the election. Midterm elections 2018 will be kicking off in just a few hours. Here's the thing, folks. I'm talking about it. The importance of the black vote. And with this election, is democracy at risk? I'm going to share with you some of my thoughts. We're going to talk a little bit about all of the different elements right now that has created our political climate. From fear to divisive language to truth versus lies, so many things. We're going to have that conversation. So stay riding with us. A whole lot is coming up on tonight's edition. Getting you ready for midterm 2018 right here. On your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9. Your voice, your vote. Now let's check in with NPR.
I do this for my culture.
Peace and welcome back to For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me this evening, folks. It's dark outside. Yep, it is. You ever wake up and you're just like, oh, okay. It feels like it's about 8 o'clock outside. That's what daylight savings time will do to you. If you haven't turned your clocks back right now, something is seriously wrong. Something is seriously wrong. You had the whole weekend. A whole weekend. All right, maybe just half of it. All right, but the fact is, folks, we are going to be on time tonight. We got a lot to get to. It is the official eve of the national midterm elections for 2018. Here at WEAA, we're going to be giving you election coverage all day long tomorrow, keeping you up to date about what's happening at the polls, where the races are, so much. So I want you to make sure that you do yourself a big, big favor. Unlike any other station that's on your radio dial, WEAA is going to keep you posted from morning to day, from the nighttime. I'm telling you, it's going to be a fantastic situation. Your voice, your vote, that is our coverage that will be kicking off tomorrow morning as the polls open up, folks lining up, making their voices known. And it's an old saying that says this, folks. If you don't vote, that means it's like, that if you're not at the table, then you're on the menu. Think about that one. I'm going to be dropping some voting quotables all throughout the day, the evening, and tomorrow. Yes, yes. So that's the first one. If you're not at the table, you are on the menu, folks. And we know our interests have been on the menu for far too long. It's time for us to get a plate and a fork and a knife. That's what I'm going to say. Yep, that's what time it is for us. But again, make sure you stay tuned because your election coverage, your voice, your vote will be happening all day tomorrow. Of course, my colleague talked about it, Dr. K, talking about, what we're doing to get you prepared. I'm going to continue the conversation tonight. Yeah, because I feel like it's important. I know some people may feel, quote unquote, like apolitical, like I don't really care for Raji, but I think you should care. I think you should care. You know, you ever run into someone that says I'm not political? And I had someone told me, he taught me this, something very simple. He was like, being political is not being informed and not being involved. You know who told me that? Dean Dwayne Wickham. Being political, when you say you're not political, that means you're not informed about what's going on. There are politics in everything, folks. And we can't run away from it. There are politics in your household. There are politics at your job. There are politics in the community. There are politics everywhere. So you can't be like, no, I don't like politics. Politics. Okay, I get it. You may not like this expression of politics or this interpretation of politics. But at the end of the day, we have to be political, not in the traditional sense, but political and knowing what's going on, informed about who's making the decisions, and at least knowledgeable about the impact. Can we say that? I think we can. I think we can really say that. Otherwise, you're just walking around with a Social Security number. That's it. That's all you're doing. Just walking around with a Social Security number and not understanding who you are, what role you play, what system you are a part of. Again, folks, if you're not at the table, then you're on the menu. So we're going to get political tonight. We're going to do our part to at least have some deeper conversations about what is happening with our political system. And this is not really based upon being Democrat or Republican or independent or I'm a libertarian, I'm part of the Green Party and all. This is taking the big picture stance, right, of the way that America is running right now. Big picture. Because there are some real concerns that we should have. And even more so, they're not just concerns that we should have. We should really be thinking about what is my role, what purpose do I play in this larger system called the United States of America, right? Because, see, I learned there's some things about system thinking. There's a study, an area of study called system thinking, right? And system thinking is based upon a system being composed of three things: elements, the interconnectedness of something, of these elements, and then essentially their purpose. This is what makes a system a system. So, you know, you might, in your own personal household, the elements are the family members, how you connect, the interconnections, the relationships that you guys have. And then, of course, what is the purpose? You got a mother, father, auntie, uncle, grandmother, grandfather, son, daughter. All of you play a purpose. That's the way the system is set up. That's one of the key thinkings behind this whole idea of system thinking. In America, we have those. This is a system, right? There are smaller systems that have a greater purpose to the largest system called the United States of America to keep this country going. And so if you don't understand that on a very fundamental level, that we are all part of the system. Yeah, I know that back in the day, we used to use the terminology the man. Well, it's not just the man. That's very simplified. It's actually much deeper. The men and women that actually dictate what it goes on in the system. And you got to keep this in mind. The system come out of the minds of men and women. That's what they do. The system doesn't come out doesn't emerge on its own. Somebody thinks of these things. Somebody sits down and designs these things. Somebody thinks that, you know what, since we have these elements and these elements, maybe we can relate them like this. And then this will be the outcome. It's very deep. But it's not so deep that you don't understand your role in it. Why am I saying all of this? Because we are at this crucial point right now in this country, right? We're 2 years into a presidency that it seems to lost its quote-unquote presidential bearings, right? There's nothing presidential about this president that we have right now. And even though this election is not necessarily about his position, his role, his purpose, he's in the background of this conversation, right? He's right there. He's this ominous presence right there that regardless of where folks vote tomorrow or whatever the results may be, he is going to play a huge role in dictating the agenda for a system that many of us have always talked about as being a system that needs to be changed, a system that needs to be reformed, a system that needs to be modified. But unless we understand the full breadth of the and weight of our own power, our own personal power, unless we understand that, one, we are elements in the system, two, that unless we recognize that we're not the only people on earth, a part of this country, so you do have black people, white people, Asian people, Latinos, Native Americans, you have all of these groups of folks, right? So there has to have some level of interconnectedness. All these folks have to relate to one another in some way, shape, or form. And the relationship that all of these different groups of people should be for the forward progress of the overall idea, but the overall country. And then if you don't know your role, well, what is the purpose of you? And the biggest role is, we can, some say that we're Americans, some say that we're black people, we're former slaves, others say that we're citizens. At this point in 2018, we are part of the constituency of the United States of America. Now, I get the historical context of these, of our sojourn here in America, and I understand that. But we have to work from where we are. Not forgetting where we came from, but we at least recognize where we are. And if we don't recognize where we are, then we can't have a real conversation about the direction that we're going to go in, right? So this is the part that is very, very hard for a lot of us to kind of take in. This is the hard pill for us to swallow, that we are really a part of a larger system. Now, how do we change the system? How do we make the system really beneficial for all of us? How do we ensure that the system doesn't become a perpetrator of violence and injustice? Different sets of conversations. Important conversations, legitimate conversations, valid conversations, but at the end of the day, they're different conversations. You got to even see yourself as being a part of a situation, right? And if you listen, when we've had many, many political conversations, we've said this before, but I don't think we can overemphasize this, especially among black people in this city, in this state, and around this country. We are not a monolithic group of people. We don't think the same way. We don't believe that we all have the same interests. Hell, some of us don't even use the same terminology to describe. Some say black, others say African Americans, others say former slave. We're all over the place. All over the place. So if we're going to have a conversation about our political power, then we need to have this conversation in a realistic context, so that way we can tap into that part of us that can work from a place of commonality and not from a place of difference. I'm saying among black people first, before we even talk about other people and other groups and other nations and other communities. I'm saying among black folks here. So when we go to the polls tomorrow, if you're deciding to go to the polls tomorrow, then you want to make sure that you're an informed citizen, that you are aware of the impact, that you know that you are a part of a system. But it's just as much as you are part of a system that has victimized, you can also be a part of the solution that can overpower, that can really get us to a better place in this country. Is voting the end all be all? By no means is it. However, it's a good start for us to at least have new conversations, to create some new action, and hopefully get some new ideas that's going to make the system anew. All right, so I'm asking a big question. With this election, is democracy at risk? We're going to look at the elements that are currently happening in our political climate. We're going to talk about truth versus lies. We're going to talk about the fact that there is a fear-mongering campaign that's happening right now. We're going to talk about that there is divisive language that's being used from both sides of the aisles. Neither one is exempt from that. But essentially, we're going to talk about this thing of democracy. What is it that you want to see? Especially here in the city of Baltimore and around the state of Maryland. What is it that you want to see? that you are of concern that you may not be seeing coming in the next 2 years or the next 4 years? Is democracy at risk? That's the big question, and I hope you got the great big answer for me. Stay riding with us. Hit me up right now, 410-319-8888. Also, we're broadcasting live on our Facebook page and streaming live on our website at weaa.org. Stay riding with me. Whole lot coming up in this first hour of For the Culture, right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. We'll be right back, folks.
I do this for my culture. I do this for my culture.
Peace and welcome back to For the Culture. Right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in this evening as we have our pre-election day conversation. That's right, midterm elections 2018. We're going to go to the polls tomorrow. And and I want you to know that all throughout the day tomorrow, I can't emphasize this enough, we will be doing our part here at WEAA to make sure we keep you updated about what's happening from the polls to the races to the candidates, all of those good things. So you want to make sure you tune into WEAA all day tomorrow. Your voice, your vote, 2018. That's going to be happening here on WEAA. But tonight, as we get ready to embark and once again do our part as citizens to go to the polls, I'm just asking some questions about the largest state of our country right now. More importantly, the ideology behind the country, the fundamental elements that quote unquote make America great, that makes America the land of the free and the home of the brave, that make America a real republic. Now, this is not going to be a political science conversation as much in a sense of talking about theory. I want us to talk about this from the place where we are right now, right? And I get the history, and I really do get the history. But if we look at the history, and I think a lot of times we've emphasized the history, but in when you're looking at the larger system and the larger culture of this country, right, our history has dictated where we have gone. But is it possible for us to start a new tradition, whether it's politically, economically, socially? I'm throwing it out there, but guess what my answer is? Yes, it is possible. It is truly possible because it's happening right now, that the political climate in this country has changed dramatically. It's changing dramatically, rather. And so I'm looking at it. When we talk about all of the things that are present right now, we're talking about fear-mongering. Did you see President Trump's latest ad? This is an ad that he bought out. He funded himself. This ad about the immigration. I'm going to have Alex and the producer and my team to pull up this ad of President Trump because about immigration. I mean, just simple. It's like yellow journalism, folks. This is crazy. But he talks about this immigration ad. We're going to pull it up in a few minutes. When we talk about the divisive language. The divisive language that exists right now within our political discourse, the divisive language is absolutely abhorrent. And we're supposed to be seeing the best of the best representing our interests. But at the end of the day, the language is so divisive, I can't tell whether it's for if either one of the political parties are doing it for the party, or they're really doing it for the country. Can't tell. when we talk about this issue of political terrorism that's existed, right? There's a level of political terrorism. I mean, just last week, we're talking about a mail bombing and then the shooting of Jewish people in Pittsburgh. Political terrorism. Individuals, two white men who felt like they are losing something. This level of political terrorism is deep. Very, very deep. Then we got to talk about truth versus lies. You want to know how many times the president has lied in the course of his 2 years? You want to know that? I'm going to tell you. Because this president, man, I mean, look, man, let's be honest. Let's be honest. The president has made, and this was as of, let me show you, when was this as of? The president has made 6,420 false or misleading claims over 649 days, according to the Washington Post fact checker. 6,420 false or misleading claims. Yeah, you know, they actually have a fact checker. In the first 9 months of his presidency, that's interesting they choose the nine, because that's nine represents coming to birth, right? Trump made 1,318 false or misleading claims, an average of five a day. Just every day, he just lied. Not just one time, you know what I mean? just five or six times a day. Some days, you know, that says on average. He could be hitting out 10 on one day, three the next. We don't know. You know what I'm saying? If you ask him, he never lies. Like, wow. But 6,420 false or misleading claims. I'm laughing, but it's not funny. I'm laughing. The irony is, this really isn't funny. We're talking about the absolute welfare and the lives of the American people. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to, let me kick it off with my man Dwayne from Baltimore. I always get my man Dwayne last, normally. We're going to kick him off first, then we're going to go to Gene to Pikesville. Dwayne, talk to me, sir.
For Roger, thanks for letting the brother ride today.
Yes, sir.
And I want to start this comment off by saying democracy is always on the ballot. Always. Okay?
Yeah.
Our democracy is not guaranteed. Unfortunately, we have a group of apathetic Americans out there who think that, hey, all we got to do is just breathe and the democracy will stay the same. No, we always have to be watchdogs of the democracy at all times.
Mm.
That's why we have a NAACP. That's why we have a ACLU. That's why we have all these groups out there that are keeping their eyes on what our government is doing, because even the forefathers, despite their challenges with us as African Americans, had the foresight to see that democracy, you know, is a constant daily struggle. And they tried to write the best constitution they can and try to set up as best they could with what they had to work with. But we know over time that as we've changed, people have figured out ways to try to get around those things, okay, and change the democracy. And I'd also like to say,
yeah,
okay, because I hear a lot of journalists doing this, okay, listen, what the Democrats are saying versus what the Republicans are saying is night and day, okay? What the Republicans are doing versus what the Democrats are doing, night and day. They are not equal, okay? When you talk about the hate party, you're not talking about the Democratic Party. You're not talking about, when you talk about, you know, guys driving across the country and going into pizza shops because Hannity didn't have told them that they were running some child labor thing out of, Hillary Clinton's running a child labor organization out of a pizza shop in D.C. That's not, Democrats are not doing that. Democrats are not bombing abortion clinics and shooting abortion doctors, and you know, now we are shooting up football fields where, you know, some, we did do that, now I have to admit, but for the most part, we're not the violent party, okay? We cannot, you know, I'm not a Democrat, I'm independent, but I lean more liberal. We cannot equate how we roll or how they roll, because I hear a lot of journalists doing that, and it is totally opposite.
Totally opposite. Well, Dwayne, you getting the ball rolling tonight, sir. So I appreciate you for checking in. Democracy is always on the ballot. Woo. I'm going to tell you what President Obama had to say. What else is on the ballot when we come back? We're going to talk about that. Then I'm going to my man Gene out of Pikesville. I want to hear from you. Is democracy at risk given the political climate that we find ourselves in, especially as we embark on another national election? 410-319-8888. Also, hit me up on my Facebook page at Faraji Muhammad. Post your thoughts. Let's get into it, because it's time for us to be informed citizens. Again, folks, if you're not at the table, guess what? You're on the menu. Stay riding with us. It's For the Culture right here on WEAA. And welcome back to For the Culture, right here on your source, for cool jazz and more. WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me this evening, folks. All right, we're talking about democracy. We're talking about your voice, 2018. We're talking about, is democracy at risk right now? How many of you feel like democracy at risk? I'm going to even throw out another question, right? Because I do want to gauge where we are on the political spectrum. How many of you really just don't care? And I'm not trying to be facetious or not trying to be funny or anything like that. Like, you just don't feel like this is even worthy of having a conversation. I want you to even check in with me tonight to let me know. Like, Faraji, I really don't care about this. I don't plan to vote. You know, I think all of this is a scam. Like, you might, I want you to share with me, keep it 100. Keep it 100 with me and let me know. Hey, Faraji, as much as I am a, you know, tax-paying citizen, guess what? I'm not doing this. I'm not getting involved with this. This is not what I think is the best direction. I want to hear from you as well. 410-319-8888. 410-319-8888. If you don't even care about what's going to happen, what's going to transpire over the next 24 hours, then that's fine. Share your thoughts so we can at least have a conversation so we can be honest about where we are. All right, let's go to Gene out of Pikesville. Gene, thank you so much for checking in. As always, sir, what's your take?
All right, Faraji, how you doing, man? So I'm gonna be truthful. Well, I graduated Morgan in 1976.
Yep.
After losing the revolution after 1968, I was very cynical, and I didn't vote for quite a few years. I became a mercenary, and I tried to make as much money as I possibly could. Sold out to banking. You know, I worked in banking for 28 years, and tried to work in the system and make as much money as I could. Very selfish. And then I became aware again after I had a child,
mm-hmm.
and that I was worried about his future. We have 1.4 trillion dollars at stake, and we have to redirect that $1.4 trillion back to the black community.
Mm.
And that's what's at stake. How do we get that money redirected into the black community where it benefits us and doesn't make millionaires in every other community but our community? So, you know, okay, so of course, I'm a historian, so I'm going to give you four examples. The cotton gin, the invention of the cotton gin, made black people excessive slaves, having too many slaves. You know, you didn't need them because you could process that cotton faster than you can grow it. And you didn't need all that labor. Then you go to the Industrial Revolution, Theodore Roosevelt. You know, how did that affect us? We were left out of that for the most part. Invented a lot of things. We know all the great inventions and so forth during the Industrial Revolution that we participated in. And then we, you know, we went from a cotton economy to a coal economy to a petroleum economy, gas, you know, oil. Okay, and then we move forward to Franklin Delano Roosevelt. We had Great Depression, right?
Yep.
White people suffered. Who suffered more than them during the Depression?
We did.
Okay, so let's move forward to John F. Kennedy when he was killed. And then Lyndon Johnson got into it. We got the Civil Rights Bill, the Voters' Rights Act. You can't leave out Mr. McCullough that David Anthony Wiggins talks about, who pushed that legislation through, and Lyndon Johnson got it done.
Right.
And then we move forward to, let's say, the about the 80s, and then the when the Internet came into being, and cyber everything, smartphones, etc. Who's being left out of that?
It's us.
It's technology, us.
Us.
So that's, you know, that's the history of it. We've been left out all those times, and here we are, 2018, and we got $1.4 trillion at stake, and we kind of still don't know what to do.
Well, you know what? We have $1.4 trillion, and people often says it's buying power, right?
Yes. We're spending, right?
But would you willingly give your power away?
Would I willingly give it away?
Right. I mean, if it's buying power, right? We're known as a consumer nation.
Yes.
So why would we willingly give our power away? I heard Dr. Jared Ball here from Morgan State University say that is the wrong language for us to use to have buying power. At the end of the day, that puts us in a place of just being consumers instead of producers.
But I want to, I mean, okay, I'm just, you know, begging the question, but isn't that what we are?
We absolutely are.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I mean, you and I know, Gene, the numbers speaks for itself, right? Yeah. Men lie, women lie, numbers don't, they say, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So the question then becomes, how do we transform that?
Well, Faraji, and, you know, God bless you and the Nation of Islam, but the only example that I can ever come up with is the Nation of Islam,
gotcha,
who has the mindset and the knowledge of self enough to try to do it. And, you know, if it was the Nation of Christians, I think I've said this before, then that would be a good thing, because we would redirect those resources back so it benefits our nation.
Gotcha.
We don't think of ourselves as a nation. And Donald Trump again is misdirecting that even the term nation against us when we talk about Donald Trump as a white nationalist, and so nationalism is bad.
Well, he said he's a nationalist.
He's a nationalist, okay. So I get being a nationalist because it's, you know, the United States is a nation, and, you know, so forth and so on. But within a nation, there can be other nations, I believe.
Yeah. I mean, look, like you just pointed that out so explicitly, Gene. The power that we have, the economic power that we wield,
right? But we need to redirect it.
We need to redirect the power. Yes. Right, exactly. Because our power is serving as the as it adds to the foundation for other institutions to become empowered.
Exactly.
So when we're talking about redirecting the power, that's what I'm saying. And I'm glad you brought it up.
Okay, so redirecting
that
power.
Yeah, and you're right. When we talk about voting, right, because we're looking at this whole thing of democracy, and I'm not even going to get into the conversation, Gene. You and I can both get into this conversation, whether this is a real democracy, whether it's a republic.
Yeah, because it's a
hybrid. Here's the thing, though. Are we finding, and I'm saying the way that people understand and interpret democracy on a simple level, for the people, by the people, that thing.
Yeah, and it boils right down to knowing what candidate has your best, we keep, has your best interest at heart.
Yep.
Voting for that candidate,
yep,
put them in place. If they don't do what we want them to do, then you vote them out and blah, blah. That's the process. You know, the only other alternative is revolution. And we ain't going for revolution because there ain't enough of us. We ain't got no shooting ranges in Baltimore. We be shooting each other in the back of the head.
Check this out. You're crazy, man.
It'd be the dumbest
on me. Hey, Gene, I appreciate you for checking in. I really do. My man Gene from Pikesville. Hey, look, let me tell y'all something. If we're talking about revolution, the revolution isn't always by the gun. Let's throw that out there. We oftentimes, that's one of the things about our understanding of political revolution. The revolution can be by the ballot box. It can be that, right? But we have conflated the idea of gun with revolution. The revolution is simply how you think. You can change the way you think. You can change the things that you do, right? If black folks started to spend money not on products that lose their value as soon as they get off the parking lot, as soon as they leave the shelf and all of those things, and start to invest it into some things that gain value over time, that's a revolution. That's a revolution. All right, but look, you know, and I'm glad Gene brought that up. Dwayne, another great call, brought that up. Dwayne said democracy is always on the ballot. You know what else was on the ballot? President Obama was recently in Miami. You might have seen some YouTube clips of him hanging out in a taco shop with Mr. Andrew Gillum, who is running for governor down there, the black candidate running for governor. And, you know, former President Obama doing his thing. He's doing his thing. But he was in Miami stumping for Mr. Gillum. And he said something that I think that this should be a part of this conversation. He said the character of our country is on the ballot. The character of our country is on the ballot right now, folks. This is major. And some folks are saying that this is the most combustible midterm in a generation. Combustible. This is where we are in this country. 410-319-8888. 410-319-8888 as we talk about, is democracy at risk? Marcus checked in and said, democracy is most definitely on the ballot, especially with a president who wants to be a dictator. But even if the Democrats win the majority in the House and the Senate tomorrow, they don't get sworn in until January. So between now and January, the president can fire the attorney general and Robert Mueller, and the Republicans won't lift a finger to stop him. That is why it is so important to vote. True. You know, he hasn't done it yet, because then that will really bring the cloud of suspicion over him. You know, he wants to do it. Trust me, I know he wants to do it. But that will certainly bring a cloud of suspicion over his situation. Let's go back to the phone lines, 410-319-8888. Let's go to Paul, Northwest Baltimore. Paul, what's your take is this? Is democracy at risk right now, Paul?
Democracy is gone. It's been gone ever since whatever his name on Watergate brought those drugs over here to infiltrate the poor neighborhoods and the black community. This president has been off the chain. And we got those people over there, and they know they're supposed to do. Another reason why I say it's gone is because I've read up, because you make me very informative when I listen to you, Roger. I'm real happy for that. You make me read a little bit more. I used to hate to read, but
oh man,
the fathers, our founding fathers, made the Supreme Court because they didn't trust themselves to do the right thing, because they knew that it was temptation and things like that. And when Congress allowed him to set the Supreme Court up and set the courts up where that is not fair and things of that nature, then we become like the countries that we've been going over to help to try to create democracy in their countries.
Mm-hmm.
We've ever actually become dictators and things like that. And they play a big part in it. So I remember when Obama first won, and we had the Senate and the House. And there's a lot of Democrats that didn't vote to help get things done. And then they crying for us to come back and vote for them again. But are they going to do the right thing? You know, What are they going to do? What had they been showing us about them getting together and working together with each other? Because I feel like if I live in the state of Maryland and one part of the state of Maryland is doing good, I should be able to live the same way. Montgomery County, Cecil County, all of them, they shouldn't be living like they live in a different part of Maryland.
Yep.
Maryland is Maryland.
No, you're right. So, hey, Paul, I think you're absolutely right, and I appreciate you for checking in. I think you're absolutely right that we cannot allow. First, we got to ask. You have to determine what is our ask. And I think as individuals, we do that when we go to the ballot box, but also when we end up, we go to those events when we see our representative or some other representative. You got to have an ask. You don't go up there and praise them unless they did something that's really good. I mean, you know. But I think too much a part of the culture of politics right now is too much like Hollywood. It's like we treat politicians like rock stars. These are public servants. I'm not saying that they shouldn't be, thanked for their good service. But at the end of the day, you are a public servant. So it's like you praising a parent for being a parent. You know, you're like, oh, you're such a good father. And I get it, you know. You're such a good. But it's like when you go up to a politician who you voted into office and they actually do what they say they're going to do, that's their job. I mean, that's their job. It would be like, you know what? Thank you so much for doing your job. Now, in the big scheme of things, it's because it's such an anomaly to get a politician to do what they said they're going to do and be serious and committed about it. In the big scheme of things, yes. You're like, oh, we think we found one out of 100. But that's their job. That's their job, to do what they said they're going to do. If you said you were going to represent the interest of the people of your district or your part of town, that's your job. It's like, yeah, okay, appreciate that. All right, here's the next item for you. Boom. Keep it going. But Senator so-and-so, oh, you are such. No, The culture needs to change on that respect, folks. Trust me, the culture needs to change. I'm not treating a political leader like you're a rock star. Just do your job. You'd be treated like a rock star if you're able to do your job to get some bills passed, get some laws done. That's what I want. We'll praise you after 4 years. How about that? Praise you after 4 years. Let's go back to the line. 410-319-8888. We got Jay, first time caller, checking in from Owings Mills. Jay, thank you so much. What's your take, sir? Jay, we got you now. Hey, Jay? All right, looks like we got a Jay. Call us back. 410-319-8888. Let's go to Robert out of Northwest Baltimore. Robert, what's your take on this? Is democracy at risk right now?
No, man. Democracy been left here.
You said democracy been left here. Wow.
Yeah, they've been left. So when corporations, multinational corporations, begin to fund these politicians nationwide, we go as far as the Department of Treasury and all that. Once the money in Wall Street start dictating who's going to get this and start getting municipal bonds and all those things start coming into play, the idea and the choices and the will of American people was then taken away.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, let me get to this thing. This is the most attentive and most educated midterm election that I have witnessed. And a lot of people are overlooking the fact that what you just said, the politicians and the parties are actually doing their damn job.
Mm-hmm.
You got me?
Yes, sir.
They even up to the president. Barack Obama, he went all the down going for the LGBT stuff. No, this time, you got to get Trump his props, and you got to get the Democratic Party their props. They're going out to get the vote. They're trying to galvanize what used to be democracy. This is what we're looking at right now.
Yep.
Yep. Exactly what we're looking at.
Hey, Robert, I agree with you, man. They're going to go for it. Here's the problem, though. Here's the thing that they're wanting to, in their pursuit of trying to get their voters, they might be dissuading other voters to come into the fold. And that's one of the big concerns that I have, that we get so wrapped up in party politics that we lose sight of what's important for the country.
Yeah.
And see, this is what happened. This is the political climate that allowed Mr. Robert Bowden, to go into a synagogue in Pittsburgh and to shoot up 11 and shoot and kill 11 people. This is what happened when you have mail bombs sent to elected officials. Like, at some point, you lose your sanity because your mind isn't at balance about what you're seeing, the information that you're consuming, and what you're believing.
Well, Reverend Muhammad, you picked on something one of y'all said, so, well, you're actually dealing with fearful politics.
All right, so let's talk about it. That's all. Yeah. And Robert, you cracking open that? Hey, Robert, man, don't do this to me, man, because I'm ready for that conversation now.
Yeah, this is what we're looking at.
Yeah.
We're looking at fear-mongering, man. And they have gotten these people, and even a few of our people, believing that the standard of living or their existence is predicated on the fact of how they perform. But it's actually up to you and I as to how we maintain our style of living.
That
is. There's plenty of opportunities. And I just want to kick back on Brother Carlos. Gene, from Pikesville.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned the Nation of Islam, which is really good. You forget about the legacy and the dynamics of the Christian economic fundamental practice through the late Daddy Great.
Yep.
Let's see, we can't dismiss the Christians and the ideas that they have, the black Christians, for the idea that they had to sustain a viable living outside the government of America, and they still exist.
They still exist.
Still functioning.
Hey, Rob, I got to let you go, but you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And I don't think just the acknowledgement of one part of the community, Muslims, is a disregard for others. And I know that's not the spirit in which Gene said it. But I do know that we have to look at the models that work. And I think, again, we go back to this place of comfort, and we don't want to, you know, if you acknowledge that a program that is working, you don't want to say, well, it's not a mainstream program, but it works. It works. This is not, you know, the economic plan of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and that the Nation of Islam puts out there, is not just some small time plan. It's based upon immutable principles that we talk about each and every day. We celebrate during the month of Kwanzaa, which is collective unity. We talk about having our own level of independence, that we could essentially be a nation within a nation. But then it's like, oh, but the messenger we can't get with. Okay, let me tell you something, folks. Let me tell you something. This is the time right now in our country where we can't be picky or choosy about where truth and where salvation comes from. We can't. We cannot be, oh, I don't want that type of salvation. Give me the salvation. No, uh-uh. This ain't an a la carte type style redemption here, folks. This is, we are at a critical moment in this country, right? We see all of these elements and forces that are present, negative elements, negative forces that are creating negative systems that are giving us negative outcomes. At this point, we should be so open, wide open, like we in love, nose open type stuff. Like, oh, well, let's try this one. Let's try that one. Let's try something new. We should be so open and not be so narrow in our thinking, because guess what? The very essence of our survival is based upon how we respond to this moment. Real time is 695. Talk to me, sir. Thomas, I know you're with me. Go ahead, talk to me.
Listen, man, democracy left out when that orange-haired joker got in office. Well, Agent Orange.
Oh, man, you know, hey, Thomas, I'm going to stop you there. Democracy left out. If you're saying democracy left out because President Trump, no, he was voted in. He was voted in now.
Uh-huh.
But at the end of the day.
Who voted him in, Roger?
The same people that we live next door to.
53% of white women that said that.
Hey, man, that you can't discount that.
Listen, the same 53% of them white women who said that if a white man spits in my face, that you're supposed to come, I'm supposed to go to her rescue, right?
Hey. Hey, uh-huh. hey, Thomas, it does not make any sense to me. You and I know that if you're trying to get me to find some logic in that in that relationship, I'll be hard pressed.
Let's have a real conversation with this.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm supposed to be able to be less than a human, okay? According to their constitution, I'm what? 5/8 of a human?
Three-fifths.
Three-fifths of a human?
Yeah.
I'm not even a whole human, Faraji. But yet, I'm supposed to take the little bit that I have and come to their rescue. Okay?
Yeah.
No matter what goes on, the black man and the black woman has always been other people's protector.
I got you.
Okay? We have to turn around and fight our fight. They'll turn around and fight their fights for them. When they get what they want to accomplish, I got to go back to not having enough to carry me through the week, man, or through the day, man.
I hear you. And guess what, though? Here's the thing, though, Thomas. Here's the thing, and I think that this might be the other part that a lot of us may forget. There are a lot of white people in this country that are suffering, too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm saying that, and I'm saying that from an economic standpoint, from a social standpoint. You got poor whites in Baltimore. You got poor whites in D.C. You got poor whites. And I'm saying that the reason I'm bringing that up is that because the system, and I talked about this at the beginning of the show, the system that we are a part of is not able to address in a just and truthful, humane way, is not able to address the growing needs of a diverse population, right?
Same poor whites that you're talking about, Faraji.
Yeah.
They got something that me and you don't have.
Go ahead. Talk to me.
They're considered a full human. Mm. We're still considered three-fifths of a human.
You're right. You are absolutely right.
They're considered that they're still supposed to be better than the smartest black man.
Right.
Or better than the richest black man.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. Injustice can't last for so long because guess what? Those who are perpetrators of injustice, they suffer from the same injustice after a while because they lose their own humanity.
But Faraji,
yeah.
How long is too long?
How long is too long for what? Give me.
How long will this injustice continue?
Come on, brother.
That
answers the question. And guess what?
We're talking about voting, right?
Right.
Okay. If you look at when Trump got elected, okay?
Yeah.
Hillary Clinton won the popular vote.
Right.
By that definition, Hillary Clinton should have been president of these United States.
Right.
But the Electoral College.
Yep.
We need to find out who they are.
Right.
And we need to find out why they go against the interests of the people. Do the people vote? Actually count. They count when they want it to count.
Yeah.
And when they don't want it to count,
Come on.
I tell you what, I seen the Republican Party did something this year in the state of Maryland that I never thought I would ever see in all of my days.
What's that?
They have went and got known dope fiends, dope heads, little dopey and the boys to turn around and endorse them.
I can't validate that. I don't know that. We would need to do some research on that because I can't put that at the Republic. I mean, I hear what you're saying, but I would need to much more. I need some other sources for that.
They're running commercials for the governor and the lieutenant governor. Roger, Morgan State is HBCU, right?
Yeah, of course.
We know how the governor and the attorney general did us on HBCU, right?
Wait a minute. Hold on, though. Hey, Thomas, I got to let you go because we're up against the clock. But if they can get whoever they want in their commercial. Now, if you don't agree with the commercial, you just don't agree with the person. But we can't have this belief that, you know, we're all going to be thinking on the same page. We know that's not even the case right now. That's not even the case, folks. We all ain't Democratic. We all not Republican. That's not even the case. Look, I gotta go. Take a quick pause. When we come back, we'll get to more of your calls. Leo, Fred, Tina, Gary, and Charlie, stay riding with us. And, of course, we're broadcasting live on my Facebook page at Faraji Muhammad and streaming at WEAA.org. Asking the question, is our democracy at risk with this upcoming election tomorrow? Stay riding with us. More of your comments right here on For the Culture, here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA. Your vote, your voice. We'll be right back.